The seventh verse of the second chapter of Ruth is our text today. The seventh verse of that second chapter. It tells us, and she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers and among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. We're thinking this morning of the subject of an honest day's work. It carries on very nicely from where we left off last Sabbath morning. We were thinking then of the people of God and of the need for the Lord even to take a dealing with us, that we would be in that right place where the Lord can bless us of my people, and so on. So here's a very pertinent and relevant and important aspect of life that the Scriptures has much to say upon, and I pray the Lord might challenge our hearts with regard to today. We're thinking this morning of an honest day's work. It's an old saying, but it has relevance still for the day in which we live. And I want you to be in no doubt, brethren and sisters, that's what Ruth did in the field of Boaz, an honest day's work. Here's a young woman, and she was industrious. She would be what we would have to call and what we would have to describe as a hard worker. She didn't stand idle all the day. Maybe you know people like that in the place where you work. She didn't bluff her way through the day. There are people that you could describe as bluffers. Well, she didn't stand idle. She wasn't a bluffer. She didn't do as little as she could. There's some people, that's their object every day. Do as little as they can in the place of work just to get through the day. There maybe are many employees and many workers that could be described like that. But I want you to be in no doubt this morning, Ruth was not one of them. She couldn't be described as slothful. She was diligent, she was faithful in the job and in the work that she did. And I want you to know as well that her work habits were well known. What that means is she had a good name, good reputation, a good testimony. Isn't that something to think about as a Christian? Is that true of you? Work habits, your diligence, faithfulness, well known. See, what we have here in our text this morning is a report. And the report's given by the head reaper. You might want to call him the foreman, but he's the head reaper in the field. And he's given a report to Boaz of the sort of worker that this young woman Ruth actually was. And the fact is that everyone in the field, we could maybe call the others in the field her work colleagues. Well, everyone else in the field had been impressed. It really stood out. It really challenged them by the way that this young woman had worked. She was a conscientious, hard-working young lady. I want you to notice with me some of the things it said about her work habits. You'll see in verse 7, we're told that she started early. Verse 7 says, and hath continued even from the morning. She came in the morning early. In other words, to bring it up to date, where the rubber hits the road, she made a punctual start to the working day. She didn't lie in. She didn't arrive late. She came early to work. I noticed as well, when it came to the times for the break, she took a short break. Verse 7 tells us as well, if you read the verse, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued, even from the morning until now. And notice these words, that she tarried a little in the house. That reference to the house there. That means there was a place for them to have their break. Remember that it was a hot country. Think of the heat of the sun. There's a place to shade from the sun, what you might call in your workplace the canteen. Well, that's what they're referring to here when it talks about the house. They could go there for rest, to get in from the heat of the sun from time to time, to have their food and their refreshment. It was the Old Testament equivalent of the coffee break or the lunch break. And really what the foreman is saying to Boaz here is, she didn't take an extended coffee break, one that lasted half the morning. It says she tarried a little, just a short time, all that was necessary. And I want you to see as well, not only did she come early, the short break, but she was steadfast at the job. If you look at verse 17, she gleaned in the field until even and beat out that she had gleaned. The words until even. That means she worked right to the end of the day. She didn't look for an opportunity to slip away off home early. And if you look at verse 23, not only did she stay to the end of the day, but she worked right to the very end of the harvest. It says, so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest. She worked right to the very end. When we talk here about an honest day's work, it wasn't just one day. Every day until the harvest was gathered in. So let me make that clear. This day's work for Ruth wasn't a one-off. She came back every day, every working day, and the example she set the first day, she followed that through every day. She was steadfast and she was dependable until the work was done. She had what we sometimes call a stickability. You know, it is said, and rightly so, it is true, you will need stickability to be in the Lord's work. You will need stickability to be a missionary. But here's the reality. If you don't have it in secular work, you can't stick at it when times are hard, when the work is difficult. If you don't have it in secular work, you're not going to have it in God's work. That's where you prove yourself to have those qualities. So what has been said here, men and women? It's been said by the reaper. And remember the fact that it's written in the Bible. Well, here's something the Lord is saying. So here's what's been said by the reaper. Here's what's been said by the Lord. Ruth did an honest day's work in the field. And what a testimony that is. And remember that God put these things in the Bible for a reason. Keep in mind, every chapter you read of the Old Testament scriptures, keep in mind what Paul said in the book of Romans. Whatsoever things were written aforetime, he's talking about the whole of the Old Testament, they were written for our learning. There's lessons here, practical, simple, everyday lessons that God wants us to learn from his word. So you think of that. An honest day's work. We've thought about Ruth, but the question is, could that be said of you? By your employer, the boss? Could that be said of you by your work colleagues, those that you labor with? And maybe most important of all, could that be said of you by the Lord himself? It is sad, brethren and sisters, sometimes it's not always so. Christians should be the best employees. Christians should make the best bosses, the best workers. Christians should be the best people to work for. But sometimes that's not always the case. And that's a bad reflection upon the testimony of Christ. The Bible says it gives the two contrasts, the two extremes. The Bible speaks of those who are diligent in business. But it also talks about those that are slothful in business. And the question is, which is it with you? Which of those applies most or best to your life? As we think of an honest day's work, there's some areas in the workplace connected with work, connected with employment and with business and so on, some areas that especially we need to give consideration to. Think first of all of time spent at work. I knew a man And one of the first places he worked was in the Belfast shipyard, not long after the Second World War. The shipyard was then in its heyday. Over 20,000 men employed down at Harland and Wolff's. And what that man told me was that in those days, there were dozens of men, sometimes scores of men. They clocked in the morning, and they did absolutely nothing all day. There was no job for them, but nobody ever caught that on. And they never let on that there was no job for them. And some of them, what they actually did when they would clock in the morning, they would slip out and go up the town or maybe go to the cinema for a few hours. It's an illustration, men and women, of the fact that there are times people take money for hours that they had never worked. And I ask you today, is that right? Is that right to do something like that in the sight of God? Could that sort of day's work be described as an honest and an honourable day's work for anyone, let alone a child of God? Could that not be described and put under the term of robbery? It's really something that a person didn't earn, wasn't rightfully entitled to. You think of it this way. If somebody came to your house to do some work, for example, a tradesman, and you're paying them by the hour, it brings it round the other way, doesn't it? And maybe for the first 2 or 3 hours of the day when they come, they made tea, and they chatted among themselves, and they read the paper, made a few phone calls, looked up some things on the internet. Maybe it was 11 or half 11 before they actually got started. But at the end of the day, when the work was done and they presented the bill, they charged you for a full day's work, for 8 hours. What would you say then? What would your reaction be in those circumstances? You would say, I'm not paying for hours that you didn't work. I'm not paying for hours of labour that you didn't actually engage in. Well, the reality, men and women, is the same standard should be applied to the work that you do in your place of employment too. Honest, an honest day's work. That means honest in the actual hours that are worked. And you will know, you don't need me to tell you, you probably know better than I do. There are all sorts of moves that people work to get out of not being there for all of the hours. Get someone else to clock in and clock out and so on. Let the boss think you were there. Let the boss think you were industrious and diligent when you weren't even on the premises. Do you know the most striking thing about Ruth? She wasn't getting paid for her work. Not interesting. She wasn't getting an hourly rate. Wasn't actually getting money. She wasn't really accountable to anybody. She didn't have to present a timesheet at the end of the day for the hours that she had put in gleaning in the field. But still, she was very diligent. Conscious about that. Because she knew she was doing it in the sight of God, the hours that she put in. An honest day's work, men and women. That applies to time. It applies as well to the quality of your work. Harry Ironside, he was a noted Bible teacher. He too dropped dead very suddenly on a preaching tour in New Zealand. One of the jobs he had as a lad was to work for a cobbler. His mother was widowed. He felt as a teenager he had a responsibility to try and help his mum pay the bills. So he went out on holidays and Saturdays, worked for a cobbler. The job he was given was to pound the leather with a hammer until it was hard and dry. The leather was going to be used for the soles. It was hard work. It wasn't very appealing, the most exciting job on earth. But he used to pass by the window of a shop of another cobbler who was very ungodly, very notorious for the way he lived. And as he looked through the window of that cobbler's shop, he noticed that they didn't pound the leather until it was hard and dry. He would just nail it on to the shoes while it was still wet. And what happened was, young Ironside one day went in and asked the cobbler about that, this other cobbler, asked him the reason why he did that. And he said, with one of those sly looks in his eye, "Son, the shoes don't last as long. They come back quicker if you do it this way." In other words, the leather cracked, you see, the soles didn't wear just as well. And what young Ironside did was he went back and he told his boss, he said, "I'm wasting my time. Don't need to do all this hard, unpleasant work pounding out this leather with the hammer." Well, the boss was a Christian, old Dan Mackay. Came from Scottish stock. And the old man stopped his work and he opened his Bible. And he read those words to young Ironside. "Whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." And he explained to that young lad, "Son, I'm not cobbling for money. I'm not cobbling for 50 cents or 75 cents for every pair of shoes. What I'm doing is I'm cobbling for the glory of God." Not a good lesson to learn, men and women. He says, "Young man, I expect to see all of these shoes again on the day of judgment. Every shoe that goes from my shop. And I don't want the Lord to say to me, 'Dan, that was a poor job. You were a wee bit careless, a wee bit shoddy. You didn't do your best there.'" And Harry Ironside said as a young man, he never forgot that lesson that the old cobbler taught him. That's a good way to live, men and women. A good way to live. That's the principle to apply to every task in life that you're given. Do your work to the glory of God. Solomon said, "Whatsoever thine hand findeth to do," whatsoever, even the little tasks, insignificant, the things that you think nobody else sees, don't be careless or slack or hold back even with them. Do it with all your strength. Do it with all your ability. The message of that text is put everything into it. I want you to see that, brethren and sisters. Every job we do, however humble it may be, our attitude should ever be we should do it with every bone in our body, every fibre of our being. We should do it the best that we're capable of. We should ever seek to do it that it brings honour and glory to His great name. We should want the Lord to say, when our life is over and He looks back upon everything we put our hand to, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You should want, when every day is done and when every week is over, that you're able to look back knowing His smile. His smile. No matter what anybody else thought or anybody else said, that His smile of approval and His smile of and His hand of blessing was upon all that you did. Can I ask you, in the light of that, thinking of the quality of the work you put in, were you faithful in every task you did this week? Did you glorify the Lord in every little duty? An honest day's work. It applies to the quality of the work that we do. I want you to think as well of the property at work. You have, I'm sure, have heard the story that Dr. F.E. Marsh told when he was preaching about confession of sin, Christians acknowledging their wrongdoing and putting right wrongs that they had engaged in. And he had a man in his congregation that came to him after one of the services, very troubled. The man was a Christian. But he told that he was working for a boat builder. And he was, as a little hobby, building a boat for himself and his family at home. And in the building of that boat at home, he needed copper nails. And the copper nails were very expensive. The copper nails were needed because they wouldn't rust in the salty water in the sea. So what he did to get the copper nails was he stole them from his boss. He didn't carry a whole box home in one go. Just a few every day. And little by little, bit by bit, he took home just what he needed. And the way he reasoned in order to salve his conscience was, "Well, the boss has so many. He'll never miss the few that I take. And the boss, he's a hard man. He doesn't really pay me as well as he should, and this will help to make up. This will compensate for the low pay that I received. But you know what he realized, men and women, when Marsh preached that day? That what he'd done was wrong. It was nothing short of robbery in the sight of God, taking things from the boss that didn't belong to him. And he found himself in a fix because he didn't know what to do. The boss was actually an infidel, non-believer. He said to Dr. Marsh, every time I've tried to speak to that man about the Lord, he's laughed at me. And what will he say now? What will he say now? If I go back and admit to him I've stole those nails, carried them all home from the place of employment, what will he think of me, my testimony, the things of God? But that battle went on in that man's heart for a number of weeks. And one Sunday he came to church with a beam on his face. And he told the pastor he had spoken to the boss and he had admitted his wrongdoing. And Dr. Marsh says, well, what did he say? How did he react? He said he looked across the table in amazement at me. And he called him by his name. His name was George. He said, George, I used to think there was nothing in that Christianity. I used to think that you were just a bunch of hypocrites. But he said, there must be something in it. If what your pastor preaches week by week touches your heart, I would make you come and sit here in my office and admit the wrongdoing that you've engaged in while you've been an employee of mine. Touched the man's heart. You know, Dr. Marsh asked permission from that man to tell that story. It was one of the most famous stories that he told in his ministry all across America, many places. And inevitably, almost every time he told the story, it touched the heart of somebody. Copper nails. It wasn't just actual copper nails every time. A lady one time came and said, I had copper nails in my life. Books. Said I used to borrow books from a wealthy friend of mine. She had far more books than she ever needed, far more than I could ever afford. So I borrowed them, never took them back. Oh, but your story touched my heart. One day he told the story when he was speaking to a group of university students in a chapel service, as they call them in America. And the president of the college told them the number of books that were returned, and it was the days of fountain pens and so on that had been stolen, all that were returned. Stealing from an employer. It's a common thing. Common crime. You maybe have done it yourself. Maybe there's copper nails in your life. Maybe you reasoned the way that man reasoned. You've tried to argue in your mind and ration it out that you were justified in what you were doing. You know the story of Belfast Shipyard. I mentioned it to you a little earlier. When Nicholson preached in Belfast and people's lives were touched and hearts were challenged and consciences were troubled, people started to take back to the shipyard the things they'd been stealing. And so much was brought back to how to build sheds, called them the Nicholson Sheds. So much was taken back. You know, there's one man, they knew he was stealing something, but they just couldn't work it out. Every day he walked out with a wheelbarrow and his coat thrown across it. And they would lift the coat and look in below it to see what was below the coat. They didn't realize that every day he was walking out with a different wheelbarrow. People stealing from the employer. I read the story of a man building a garage at his home, and he took the bricks home from work. He was working on a building site, and his wife would make his lunch in a biscuit tin, and whenever he had emptied the tin, had the sandwiches and buns and all the rest, before he put the lid back on it, he lifted two bricks and set them into the tin, put the lid on it, took it home under his arm. Every day, two bricks. Till he had enough bricks to build the garage. You think of Moses, men and women. Remember the story, Moses killed the Egyptian. The Bible says he looked this way and that way. Can you just picture it? Maybe you didn't engage in murder, but there's Times you've done something, you look this way and that way just to see who was watching. Do you know what Moses forgot to do? He forgot to look that way. Forgot to look up. See, the next time you're tempted to steal from your employer and you take a quick look round to see who's watching you, remember to look up. The Lord's watching. He's looking down. An honest day's work, men and women. Honesty towards property, the employer's property at work. There's one other I'll mention, and that's to do with bills at work, paying bills and wages. It's a regular part of work, regular part of business. Not a pleasant part, some not so good at paying their bills. There is a verse, the book of Romans, owe no man anything, often quoted in connection with paying bills. The immediate context actually hasn't really to do so much with money. It's to do with giving people their place, honour to whom honour, and so on. Giving people the rightful place. It does come to tribute as well. So it's an owing no man, the immediate context there to do with your taxes, and so on. So an honest day's work, men and women, an honest day's work, as you carry on your work and as an employer as well and a person that runs a business, it has to do with owing nobody anything, paying your bills. There was a testimony meeting. You've been in such a meeting, I'm sure, where people are asked just to get up on the spur of the moment and say a few words of testimony. Well, in a certain church, there was a meeting like that going on, and this dear brother got up in the meeting, and he started off the way that often Christians like to start when they give their testimony. I'm delighted this evening to be able to tell you I'm standing on redemption ground. Well, before he could get another word out, a voice shouted up from the back of the meeting, "You're a liar. You're standing on a pair of shoes that you bought in my shop, and you've never paid for them yet. Now take the wind from your sails." Nicholson, when he held those great meetings in Newton Ards, the town that I was born in, he visited a shop one day, and the shop owner wouldn't come to Nicholson's meetings. He invited the man, pleaded with him to come. Nicholson asked him, "Why would you not come?" He said, "Let me show you." He opened the ledger, showed him the accounts of many people, prominent people in the church in which Nicholson was preaching. And their accounts were outstanding for months on end. No bills paid. Nicholson said, "I'll sort that out for you." Took the ledger with him to the meeting that night. He borrowed the ledger. And before he preached, he set it down in the pulpit. And he said, "I have the account booked from a local shop here in Newton Ards town." Didn't tell them which shop, of course. And he said, "The accounts haven't been settled by many Christians in this meeting. And I want you to know, if those accounts aren't settled tomorrow, I'll read your name out in the meeting tomorrow night." It's not a way to get a crowd. Well, the next day, not just the man whose shop he had been in, but every shop in Newton Arts, he was a wise man, wasn't he? Never named the shop. So every shop in Newton Arts had their accounts settled. But wasn't it a sad testimony, men and women? It's a very sad thing to hear of Christians not paying their bills. It's a very sad thing to hear of ungodly people conducting their business in a more decent manner than God's people. As you sit this morning in this meeting, in the house of God, can you think of a bill you haven't paid? Maybe a person that waited long to get it. The reality, men and women, is these things ought not to be so. An honest day's work. You have a great example of it in this young woman before us here. There's verses I could mention. I'm not going to take the time I wanted to turn you to them to see what the Bible says about unpaid bills. about what it has to say about making people wait on their money. If you have a pen in your hand, I'll give them to you. You can write them down and read them this afternoon. Deuteronomy 24, verses 14 and 15. Last Sabbath morning we read from Leviticus 19. You take a little look at the 13th verse. It was part of our reading last Sunday morning. Read those portions. There's some relevant verses in James as well to do with those that have reaped down the harvest and the labour has not been paid. An honest day's work, men and women. I'll say this to you as a finish. I'd like you to read as well those verses we read in Ephesians. Ephesians 6, verses 5 through to 8. And what Paul is teaching there, men and women, is this. Remember, the importance of being filled with the Spirit if you're going to be the right employee, the right Christian, even in the workplace. But what he's saying in Ephesians 6 is this. Do an honest day's work. Whether you're an employee or an employer, do what is right. Do things honourable. Do things honest. Do an honest day's work, not just in the sight of men, but do an honest day's work in the sight of God as well. You know that old man, that cobbler that Ironside worked for? He said to Harry Ironside, when he told him the story that day, "Son, God never called me to be a preacher. I wouldn't have the gifts and the ability to be a preacher. God called me to be a cobbler. But he said, through my cobbler's shop, I can speak to others. Through my cobbler's shop and the work that I do here for other people, I can bring influence upon their lives. And I can bear testimony to them, to what the gospel has done in my life and to the way that I live my life. And in that way, son, I can be a preacher. In that way, my life can be a witness, even in the workplace." It's not a good way to look at it, men and women. God may never have called you to be a preacher or a missionary or an evangelist or whatever the case might be. But remember, whatever he's given you to do, you can do it to his glory. You can do it in a way that bears testimony to what God has done in your life. You can do it in a way that's a witness to others, that causes your life and your labor to stand out for God. And that, men and women, will do more good than you could ever imagine. In many regards, that's the need of the hour and the day in which we live. An honest day's work, men and women. May God write that message upon every heart today. 479.